everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host again for this week, and I will be joined by Bart Christian, my co-host, and a very, very special guest, Mr. Jonathan Sprinkles. And I'm really excited to have Jonathan on the show this week. Not only is he a good friend of mine, but he's extremely accomplished and an award-winning motivational speaker. He's also the author of 13 books. 13! You heard it correctly. I don't know if I've read 13 books in the past 10 years, and he's written 13 of them. Alongside of that, he's also the founder and creator of the Connection Lab, which we'll be talking to him a little bit more about. And really, today's show is all about connecting both with your students, with your staff, and with your friends and your family. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome both of these guys to the show, Mr. Jonathan Sprinkles and Bart Christian. Welcome, guys.
Glad to be here.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you, Wes.
So, Jonathan, tell me a little bit more about the Connection Lab. I just want to jump right into it. You've been working on this project for a long time, and tell everyone a little bit more about what you do and how you help people connect.
Sure. Well, you know as well as I do that right now we have more ways to connect, but at times we feel disconnected than ever before. Social media is a way for us all to talk, but what we're discovering is that everyone is talking, but no one is listening. And in every company, every organization, every district that I've worked with, if there is a problem that I was hired to help solve, the solution is always in teaching people to build stronger connections. The Connection Lab is my company that helps to help people discover what makes them great. And I believe that everyone has it, and use that thing to do amazing things in the world. So I work with people via consulting with leaders. I have, as you mentioned, quite a few books and training programs that I've created. I do motivational keynote speeches and staff development days. And we do a variety of things, but the purpose and the central focus is on helping people to come together and use the power of connection to work better and be more productive and in turn more profitable.
You know, the thing that a lot of people don't know about Jonathan too is that Jonathan is a very accomplished speaking coach as well. Now, people that have seen me speak across the country to different groups, school groups, anytime you've ever seen me stand up on stage and talk, you can thank Jonathan Sprinkles for a lot of the things that I do because I learned so much from him about how to present properly and how to connect with people. And it just has been, you know, Jonathan, I can tell you how much I appreciate all the mentoring you've given to me and all the coaching you've given to me, because I would not be where I'm sitting today in so many ways were it not for the influence you've had on my life over the last decade.
Right. That really means a lot. Not only are you one of my favorite people, we were just talking before we came on about how we kind of watched each other grow up a bit. When I met Wes, he was like a teenager. Mm-hmm. Now he's a grown man with grown man things going on. And it's just been fantastic. And honestly, this is what I believe. Any person who has achieved any level of success, I don't consider you to truly be successful until the people who you're leading have created success for themselves. Anybody can talk a good game. Anybody can be a great individual contributor, but it takes someone who is a real leader to help other people to build up their own level of success and accomplishment. So when you say the things that you say, that really speaks to my heart, because I was trained from a very early age that your success is tied in other people's success. So it's never been about me. It's always been about the people like you who honestly just keep showing up, keep trying, keep getting better, keep listening, and keep trying to reinvent yourself. You're the reason why my life has meaning. So thank you very much.
Amen.
So we're going to be talking, all of our customers are going to be going back to school here in the next couple of months. They're going to be starting conversations, and there's a lot going on in the world right now. They're going to be talking with coworkers that come from different walks of life. They're going to be engaging with students that come from different backgrounds and have different life experiences. From a connection standpoint, how can we have conversations with our coworkers, with our students, customers, and have conversations that aren't polarizing, but you can really still connect without pushing views, our views on them, and accept them for where they're at.
So I wish we were face to face so I can demonstrate, but I'll just have to pretend like these are two different people here. If you put your hand against someone else's hand, all you have to do is just push on it slightly, and without even telling them, they're going to push back. Without even giving them any instruction at all, if you push on them, they will push back onto you. But if you just put the hand up and hold it against theirs and match their energy, you can stay there all day long. Here's the point. Anytime you promote, there will be a pushback. But when you attract, you'll draw people in. I always talk about in my trainings, the foundation of every relationship is trust. Mm-hmm. And getting people to trust you, to believe you, to listen to you is the most powerful and profitable skill that you can develop. You look at all great business people, all great leaders, influencers, all great school nutrition workers. The reason why the people love them and celebrate them year after year is because there are people in their lives who trust them. It's not because of what they say, it's because of the way they're able to draw people in. So I was just on TV yesterday here in Houston, Texas. There's about 4 million people in the city, so it's a big honor to have the position that I do in a recurring role on television. And this is what I talked about, especially with all the things that are happening nationally. People have become very polarized, and people are saying, it's this person's fault, it's this person's fault. Bart had a great line. He said, right now, we all act like this. Our belief is, y'all suck and we don't. So that's kind of where everybody is right now. You know, what it has done is actually made us dig our heels in, and people are even more into their belief system and even less likely to listen. So I created what I call the framework for a connection conversation. And it goes like this. There's three parts. And you can do this in your schools, in your district. You can do this in your staff meetings. You can do it with anybody, even at home. Rather than promoting your point of view, you can attract people to a conversation by asking. It goes like this. Three questions. First off, what do you see? What do these things look like to you? Tell me what this situation is in your eyes. The reason why this works is because you're inviting them into a conversation by asking them versus telling them, let me tell you what I think and you need to see it this way, kind of Bart's joke, you know, y'all suck and we don't. So rather than promoting a certain belief system to begin with, ask them, you know what, Wesley, I'm very interested in hearing this from your point of view. What does this look like to you? So you don't really know how somebody feels until you created the atmosphere for them to tell you the truth. You'll never know. See, there's different levels of truth that we're willing to give. We all know there's the representative, but then there's also how we feel at our core. If you ask, then you open up the door and invite the real truth, which is where great relationships come from. So question number one is, what do you see? Question number two, why do you see what you see? Tell me why you see it this way. Like, what conversations did you have that shaped your point of view? Tell me what experiences you have that shape your point of view. Now, again, we're not looking for right or wrong or alike or similar or dissimilar or anything like that. I just want to know, tell me why. If you think this is really good, well, tell me why. If you think it's really bad, then just tell me why. Give me your point of view. What you're doing is you're going past the persona and you're getting into the person. Everyone, listen, everyone wants to feel safe. Safe simply means if I give you the truth of who I am, Bart, if I tell you my most vulnerable truths, will you do the right thing for me? That is how you connect. Question number three. So what do you think we should do about it? So when you use this question, after you've asked them, what do you see? Why do you see it this way? Then you say, well, what do you think we should do about it? Now we're talking about solutions. The reason why social media is full of so much garbage is because everybody has an opinion, but nobody really has any answers. We're all, oh, well, this person said this and that person said this. And it's never really solution oriented. Hey, if you ever want to put out a post that will get no engagement, no likes, shares, put out a plan for a better future. Nobody wants to talk about that. The only thing we want to talk about is why y'all suck and we don't. Mm-hmm. And so the way to avoid all the drama, the way to avoid all the issues is to make it solution centered. Now, most people think you have to talk in order to move the framework forward, but actually all you have to do is just ask the right question. Because when you ask the question, you determine what types of things they're going to be answering about. So you are actually being a leader without a title, and you're pushing things forward, and you're finding out how committed people really are to the issue versus just being another person who has a problem with everything. So that's how you move forward, by having that connection conversation.
Well, let me ask a follow-up, and that's this. Because, Jonathan, you know, when we go back to work, so many people are going to be going back to work and getting involved in conversations with people. And sometimes you can find yourself kind of drug into a conflict that you really, you know, I call it getting snipered. You really weren't looking for it, and you weren't expecting it, and it just suddenly happens. How do you gracefully get out of that and still save the relationship? Or is it possible to do that?
It's really interesting that you asked that. It's a very relevant question, because I got snipered just the other day. Ironically, I was in the parking lot of a restaurant. I was talking with a person, and the guy who was the security guard just drove up on his little golf cart. And he said, hey, you know, you two seem like some people who would be intelligent folks. In my case, maybe he was wrong, but whatever, a little assumption. But he said, you two seem like some intelligent folks. Let me tell you about something. And then he went and started talking and sharing his whole crazy, weird theory. I mean, honestly, it was just weird, like about aliens and all kinds of stuff. And I said, to him, very honestly, I said, sir, it looks like you've thought this out quite a bit. This isn't the conversation for me. I can't add value to you here. And then I politely dismissed myself. What you have to remember, Bart, is that you don't have to accept everyone's invitation to an argument. When people talk to you, you have to remember this. What they say about you has nothing to do with you. It isn't even up to you to respond. All you have to do is just remember what people say about you has to do with them and their own self-esteem. Hurt people hurt people. I learn more about you by the way that you describe other people. What you're doing is you're reflecting who you are to yourself inside. You ever notice that nice people usually define people as being nice generally? Mm-hmm. Mean people, nasty people will look for something mean and nasty in other people. So what you look for is just a reflection of what's inside. So you're just telling off on yourself, as we say in the South. You're just telling off on yourself. So when people come in and they say things and they act a certain way, you have the right to say, I'm declining this invitation into this argument. You say, you know what? This isn't the conversation for me. And then you politely back away.
Perfect. You know, with everything going on, you know, school's hard enough for our students. And I think that those are fantastic tips and very applicable for our relationships with other people. Our students are a little different. We don't engage with them on maybe even a daily basis. We're doing a lot of observational communication where they come through the serving line and we may maybe say hi to them or give them a kind word. But you look at current events, you throw on the plethora of other items, maybe financial issues at home. There's a lot of stress on kids these days that ordinarily they wouldn't be dealing with. How can we recognize signs of issues in our students and really connect with them in just that brief moment?
I love the nature of this question, because it speaks to the real reason why we do what we do, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not just about serving up the food. It's about serving up, as Bart would say, a plate of positive energy. Now, the way that you define it will determine how you treat it. If you just say, well, I just give food, well, then that's all you're going to do. But if you say, you know what, I connect with these students one plate at a time, you're going to start looking at them in the eye. You're going to start engaging. And the truth is, we all know, especially women, women are just better than men at this. Women know when something is off. Women are very intuitive. They just have that skill that, men don't have. Men are like, suck it up. Come on, get better. It'll be all right. Just go eat some grass. You'll be all right. But the women are really good at this. So first off, if you are a woman listening, trust your gut. That is God's gift to you. Your gut will always lead you to your truth. And you can make very quick connections, such as this. Number one, look at them in the eye. If they have troubles at home, if they have problems with their friends, if they're being bullied, or if there's something going on, chances are, neurologically, we are wired that when we have problems, Wesley, which way do we look? Up or down? We look down. Always, right? Now, we grew up in different eras and different places. We've never lived in the same state, but you do the same thing that I do because that's the way the good Lord made us. When you see kids looking down, that's an issue. When they won't hold eye contact, look at them in the eye. Hold that plate there. Don't just give it to them and move on. Sometimes when you know they need it, hold on. And as you scoop on the potatoes or the corn, give it to them. Number one. Then number two, just say it in three words. I see you. Three words. Let them know that you see them, because when you see them,
I love that.
It says that they are not invisible. Right. Although they may want to be sometimes, although they may feel like it when nobody else cares about them. By you simply being that one person who says, I see you, you have no idea what impact that has on people. It's just three words, but those three words are just as powerful as any other words that you can think of or could hear for the rest of the day. Now, you may not have 5 minutes with every kid, but if you look him or her in the eye, give this plate to them like this is the solution to all of their problems, and let them know, I see you. Mm-hmm. With love in your heart and a smile on your face, you can create that connection that you can later possibly follow up on another time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
You know, I tell people this, you know, I've been telling, and I love the I see you thing. That is just fantastic. And what I've been trying to get across to people is simply a state of mind that they go into the cafeteria when the kids are coming in, that they look at and look at everybody actually and whisper a couple of simple things in the back of their head. And that's number one, is I look you in the eye and I think to myself, you're important to me and I value you. And the second thing I think in my mind is one of two things, either I honor you or I love you. Then, you know, obviously you can't say that out loud because it might get kind of creepy, but you can think it in your mind and it gets your mindset in a place of honor and love and respect. And I think that's so many times we don't talk to ourselves enough. We don't have that inner conversation that you've talked so much about that sets us in the right mindset to do exactly what you're saying. When you look at somebody and say, I see you, they really, really know that you see them because they can see you too.
That's right. That's right. So again, at the foundation of it, everybody says, well, what is connection? I have a very simple definition of connection. For me, connection is oneness. When you can create that oneness with someone, starting with the foundation, I see you. What it says is, you matter to me. What's important to you is important to me. What you are concerned about, what you want, what you value, what you love, I want that for you also. And so by starting at that phase, being able to create that oneness with someone, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes an open heart. It just takes the desire to do that and to extend beyond what you're paid to do and do more of what you know you were made to do.
Amen. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, to take that, you know, a step further and also kind of piggyback on what Bart said about state of mind, you know, cafeteria workers and school nutrition professionals across the country have such an amazing opportunity every single day. I don't think anyone else in a school district comes in contact with literally almost every single student. Teachers come in contact with their class. Principals may come in contact with the people that come in and out of the office, but your school nutrition professionals literally touch the lives of every single student for the most part in a day. What can school nutrition professionals, specifically managers and supervisors, do to have a good state of mind, and specifically for these training managers and supervisors that are going to be walking into a very different school year this upcoming year, different from any of the years in the past, to really stay positive and to really maybe inspire their employees so that when they come in contact with those students each and every day, they have that right mindset.
So this is going to be a tough one. Let's just be honest. It's going to be different. Okay. It's different for everybody. People say, well, you know, the new normal, you know, I don't know what that means because we've never seen anything like this. But what you can do is focus. I'll give them to you in the way that I like to do things because it's easier to remember. Number one, you got to appreciate something every single day. The first thing I say when I wake up every morning, when I turn over, when I hear my alarm on my phone is, thank you. Because I live in Houston, Texas, Wes, and Houston is the home of the world's largest medical center. So we have over 40,000 people right now, just down the street. I can see it out of my window. 40,000 people in the Texas Medical Center who are undergoing cancer care from all over the world. And these people are struggling. Now, if I can't find something to be grateful for because I have breath in my lungs, I have a heart that works, you know, I have a lungs and I have, you know, the function of my body, it's very easy for me to just say thank you and find something to be grateful for. Because the more gratitude is a multiplier. Whatever you are grateful for, you don't just get it back. You get it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So be grateful for that thing, and you will have more reasons to be grateful. So that's number one. Number two, after the appreciation, it goes to your attitude. Your attitude is just simply your outlook on the circumstances. You can see the same thing as somebody else, but have a very different attitude about it. I remember an old story, and I'll give you the paraphrase version, just the tiny quick version. There was it's from ancient China. It was like a parable about two farmers, and one farmer had a really nice crop, and the other one didn't, his neighbor didn't, and the neighbor said, ah, looks like you're going to struggle in the winter. And he said, well, we'll see. And the next time they went out and met at the fence, and his fence was broken. And he said, oh, it looks like your fence is broken. Everything is going to, all your animals are going to be able to run away. And he said, well, we'll see. And sure enough, he had a horse that ran away. He said, ah, your horse ran away. Now you can't do your farming and you're going to be poor and you won't be able to do trading. He said, well, we'll see. And then there was a war and the farmer's son was drafted. He said, oh, well, your son is gone. So now he can't farm for you. Your horse is gone and you don't have a fence and everything is bad for you. He said, you know what? We'll see. It turns out the son ended up breaking his leg and he had to come home. And while other people's sons were out in the war and died, the farmer had his son back at home. And he said, well, I guess you won then, because now my son is dead and now your son is alive. Well, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. And he said, we'll see. The point is, it's all about attitude. So the way you see things, Dr. Wayne Dyer said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So the one thing that we do control out of all these things, and I know Bart talks about this all the time. If there's one person on this planet We talk about attitude, it's Bart, all day long. It's the way you look at things. So your appreciation, your attitude, and then here's how you change all of it. Number three, your affirmations. You tell yourself, this is what you see. You know what, sometimes we kind of get in our head, we have that crazy mind chatter. I heard a psychiatrist named Dr. Anita, she said this, the only way to quiet a loud mind is with a louder mouth. You have to speak what is not as though it were until it is. I can do this. I'm here, I'm blessed, this is my day. I will not let anything get in my way. I'm excited, I'm on top of things. I feel good, I'm positive. All those I ams, all those things we sometimes think don't matter, they really do, because you control what kind of attitude you have, and that's how you get the appreciation for the things that are happening in your life. So what you say determines what you see. What you see determines how you feel. What you feel determines how you act, and how you act determines what you receive. But it all starts with this in here. So those three things can help you every single day.
So, you know, we've all heard fake it till you make it, right? Okay. But what you're saying is you actually, and I've heard this before, and I just want to say this, you're actually saying what I believe in my heart is you can actually fake it until you become it. Yeah. You can actually say the things until they become ingrained in you so deeply that you're not faking it. You actually have become it.
Yeah. So it's not about fake it till you make it. I understand what they're saying. I believe it's not incorrect. It's just incomplete.
Yes.
Rather than fake it till you make it, I say it till you see it. Because the words in your mouth will determine how you see life, right? Just like in the story, like this is the, Tony Robbins put it like this. He said, you have to ask yourself, is this the end or is it the beginning? Is this the end of my relationship or is it the beginning of my relationship? Is this the end of my career or is it the end of this opportunity or is it the beginning of a new opportunity? And what you say will determine how you see it, and the way you see it will determine how you act and ultimately what happened. So fake it till you make it doesn't quite get it. It's not true. It sounds good. It's a nice nursery rhyme. But if you say it till you see it, it's just a matter of time before you become.
He also said something else that really stuck with me. And since we bring up Tony Robbins, is he said when he stopped looking at difficult situations as being difficult, he started asking himself one simple question when he found himself in a difficult situation, and not what's the problem with this, but rather he asked himself, where is the gift in this?
Yeah.
He said, I've learned that every time I find myself in a difficult situation, if I would just change how I look at it slightly, you know, then suddenly opportunities start to kind of blossom around me that I wouldn't have seen had I not changed this one simple thing about the way I was looking at it.
Yeah. So that's about that attitude, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's about your perspective, your choice, your worldview of the circumstances. And the way that you program your mind will determine what you see. You know, for example, I give a great example. While other people were complaining and hiding in their homes, Southwest Training System said, no, I want to help more people. Look, these people need help more right now, not less. So if I consider myself to be a leader, and if I really love people like I really do, how can we get our message of positivity out to even more people? And what happened? You all had some great times and your impact has gone up 10 times. As this program didn't even exist before the pandemic, right? Wasn't this right. A result of the pandemic? So while other people were just saying, oh, well, wake me up next year, you all said, no, let's go. Come on. This is what leaders do. Leaders don't run from the problems. They run toward the problems. This is what makes great men and women great. When you keep figuring out, like you said, where's the gift here? Where's the opportunity here? What do they need? Now is a time of unprecedented opportunity. Where there is uncertainty, there is opportunity. And where there is opportunity, there is impact. And if that's what you want for yourself, your life, your legacy, for your community and your country, now is the time.
Well, and I just hope the child nutrition people across the country understand really, really the opportunity they have, because for so many districts, child nutrition was in the shadows. It was one of those things that, yeah, we have school lunch and everything's going good, but people didn't really recognize how valuable it was. And what's happened now is that schools across the country have become the feeding centers of the cities and the communities everywhere. And finally, parents are beginning to really understand the value and the quality of products that their children have been given all along. It's an unprecedented opportunity in the world of child nutrition for us to really elevate.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. That's why I really respect and admire you all, and because you've given me the opportunity to be here, I said yes, because I like to align myself with and join forces with people who are irrationally passionate about doing good while doing good.
And listening to you guys talk, I mean, I'm sitting over here trying not to smile the entire time, because speaking with both of you and having you both on the show is just such an honor for me, because obviously Bart, you're my dad, but Jonathan, I have learned so much from you over the years, and I'm reminded of a conversation that we had, gosh, probably at least 6 or maybe even 8, 10 years ago. I don't even know how long ago it was, but the nature of the conversation was you were helping me with discovering my why and my reason for what I wanted to do and the direction that I wanted to head in. And I feel like understanding our purpose and the reason why we're doing what we're doing, and specifically every single day, school nutrition professionals are waking up early, the crack of dawn. It's dark outside. In some places, it's freezing cold. They're going to a kitchen and they're serving these kids. I feel like understanding why they're doing it and really getting back and refocusing on why we're there and the purpose for what we're there for is so important these days. What tips can you give us on refocusing and really coming back to that purpose that brought us into the industry?
Yeah, very good friend, John Titus said, reasons come before results. That's so good. Reasons come before results. So if you ever need to re-energize yourself and reconnect with that, one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to just go back to your original reason why. So I always start off with some very basic questions. You know, a lot of people tell you what to do, but they don't tell you how to do it. So I've invested my whole life. My life's work has been really digging deep and to figure out how do you do the things that the gurus tell you to do. And here's one of the best exercises. It just simply goes like this. One sentence. My inner light shines brightest when I am blank. My inner light shines brightest when I'm blank. Right? So just think about that. What are the times in your day or times in your life in which you feel like your inner light shines brightest? What are you doing? Who are you with? What kind of tasks or assignments are you doing? What are those things that make you feel like time just passes by? You look up and go, oh my God, it's been an hour. I can't believe that. Because there's a difference between work and labor. Work is required for everybody. I don't care what it is. You have to work. But when you do what you love, then it doesn't feel like a labor. They say, well, do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. That's garbage. I can tell you that's not true. We all love what we do. We work our butts off. But when you do what you love, it doesn't feel like a labor because it connects with the values and the outcomes that you want to see in the world. Like, for example, I know I always have energy for serving people. Like if I know somebody is counting on me, I don't care how I feel physically. I don't care how I feel emotionally. I'll do it. I'll put my own stuff to the side. I'll sacrifice I'll just stay up later. I'll figure it out. But I know that if somebody's counting on me, I'll be there. Other people feel different ways about different things, but my inner light shines brightest when I am serving. And so the way that I charge my batteries is I find somewhere to serve. In 2018, I worked with one of my childhood heroes, Paula Abdul, and I worked with her on her comeback tour. And I met her on a Saturday, and on Sunday I was sitting at her living room table. I was like, oh my God, I don't believe this is happening. Oh my God. You know, because she said, I'm forever your girl. I thought she was singing to me, Wes. I swear, I thought she was. I was in fifth grade at the time, but I said, look, let me turn 12. Let me get a full-time job. Let me just do a school thing. I'm forever your boy. So you get to the point where your idols become your clients. You have what I call one of those 360 moments. And what I realized in all of this is that when you just focus on doing the things that you love to do, when you light yourself on fire, the world will come watch you burn. When you just revisit those things that you say, I always have energy for this. I can always do this and do it at a high level. That's what we call your magic. And everybody has it. That's the mission of the Connection Lab, to help you to discover what makes you great and use it to do great things.
Now, in closing here, we like to kind of keep it to a 30 minutes. So I want to ask you one follow-up question. I'd love to know what you're reading right now, because I know you love to stay on the top of your game and stay in the know with stuff. What are you reading right now? What are you studying right now? What's something that you might suggest to us?
Oh, my gosh. So right now, during the pandemic, I've been doing a lot of writing. So I've been reading all over. So it's really hard for me to think about the last thing I actually started reading, because I've been looking at so many different articles and references. So normally I have like a real cute answer, like, oh, I'm reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm reading everything right now. So let me think about that. What book do I have? This book is fantastic. It's a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. It talks about how people make decisions, by Daniel Kahneman. That's a fantastic book. I've also revisited the book Essentialism, by Greg Keown. Really good book. It talks about how to find the essential few and get rid of the non-essential many. You know, where our lives are so full of extra stuff, right? We have so much stuff that we have, and we just start to collect it. Those shoes, the shirt, at the time you're like, oh man, this is baller right here. This is it. And then by the end, you're like, I don't even wear it anymore. Right. So I'll give you a great one on this. He said, go through your closet and ask yourself, hold up every shirt, every pair of jeans, every pair of shoes, whatever, and ask yourself, would I buy this right now again today if it were on the shelf? And if the answer is heck yes, he doesn't say heck, but if the answer is heck yes, keep it. If the answer is no, let it go. Give it to somebody else who'll be blessed by it. So what you do when you create space for more in your life, by sticking to the essential few. It's a great book.
Well, I got to tell you that I'm rereading a book now. I just finished it, called Purple Cow by Seth Godin, which you recommended to me, Wes, which is a fabulous book, and it really timely for what we're going through right now. And I just picked up another book off my bookshelf that I started reading again, and it's called Get Off Your Butt and Make It Happen by Mr. Sprinkles. I actually just pulled it out and I just started thumbing through it. And I said, I'm gonna read this again. Cause it's just, I've kind of been in this rereading thing, Jonathan, where I'm not looking for new stuff. I'm looking to go back and reinforce things that I knew, that I know worked, and that I maybe just, cause sometimes, like, I mean, you go back and you read the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, you go, how did I miss that? And you find out the same thing when you read books that impacted your life in the past. You just go back and revisit.
Yeah, well, thank you. That means a lot. I'm glad that now two people have read the book, you and my mother.
That's exactly
right. I've read it too. That's three.
Oh, I'm blowing up, baby. Yeah.
I've got about 7 or 8 of the 13. So, okay.
Well, Jonathan, anything else in closing that you would like to impart on our listeners, or anything, Bart, that you'd like to say?
So, Bart, I'll let you go first and I'll close it down.
You know, I'm just going to say this, Jonathan, it's an honor to have you on the show, and you've been such a close friend and a dear friend in so many ways over the few years, and you've always been a friend. You know, we've worked together at times, and there's been times that we didn't necessarily work together, but what never changed was you never stopped being my friend. And which means a lot to me, because it means that the friendship was real. It wasn't a business relationship. And I've never felt this connected with someone as I feel with you outside of my family in a long, long time. And I really appreciate the impact on my life, the impact had on my kids' life and my family's life. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope you remember that at Thanksgiving, because I want them. They have this great farm with fresh eggs and all kinds of real
horses,
fresh.
I don't get chickens.
Closing out, I really want everyone to just think about this. Are you really betting on yourself? Are you really betting on yourself, or are you just talking? Now is the best time in our lifetimes, and we'll never ever see another time like this, to bet on yourself, to go all in, to believe in yourself, and to do the things that make your heart better. Right now, the world needs people who love people. Amen. And that's why you do what you do. Nobody ever says, I'm going into school nutrition because I'm going to strike it rich. So the reason why you do it is because you love the people you serve. So be bigger. Be more of who you are. Don't play small. Don't wait your turn. Don't wait to be picked. You create your own space. You own your moment. So bet on yourself. I've even created a little daily planner, and I'm giving it out for free, but only during the pandemic. Once it's done, I'm going to take it down, and I'm going to turn this into a much bigger, probably pretty expensive thing. I put a lot of time into it, but I'm giving it away for free right now. And if you just go to bettingonmyself.net, bettingonmyself.net, it's a free daily planner that will help you to organize your day, your thinking, and your life. Now, the way I've done this is very special because it starts off using this psychology of success and achievement. I created it not as just another to-do list, but as a way of helping you to organize your thoughts in a way that will get your mind focused on gratitude, get your words right, get your attitude, your affirmation, and your actions all in the right way. So if you go to bettingonmyself.net, you can get that for free. All you have to do is just tell me where you want me to send it, and it'll come to your inbox just like that. I'm here to serve, to help you to make this your year. And yes, I do believe that this year can still be your year if you want it.
Amen. Absolutely. Well said. And we'll put all of that information on how you can just click on a link down below on this video, and it'll take you right there to the betting on yourself that Jonathan has made available. Thank you so much for doing that for everyone. I really appreciate it. And I thank you both for being on the show. And Jonathan, we'd love to have you back on here, as I'm sure that it goes without needing to be said. Bart, we'll see you very soon. And this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. I'm Wes Christian, and we'll see you again next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care, everyone.